Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with Amy Babinchek and James Kernan. Good morning, James.
Hey, Amy. Good morning.
Good morning. James and I are in the Midwest, and we are anxious for spring.
Yes.
It's having trouble deciding whether it's here or not. It's been cold. It's been warm. It's been cold. It's been warm.
I'm fired up because I'm pretty sure it's here. And after today, which is supposed to get up to 49 degrees and then get down to freezing tonight, but then starting tomorrow, then we're in good shape. So I think it's 60s and 70s and 80s from here on out.
All right. Well, you get the weather before I do. I get your weather a couple days later. So I'm looking forward to that. I've got my garden plants ready to go. And I saw a picture of your boat on Facebook yesterday. Yeah. And I was browsing around.
Could you tell I'm excited for spring? I think I was sitting in the boat taking pictures.
I think your wife was sitting in the boat too. She's like, oh, there's a picture of James' wife sitting in the boat. Trying to get that boat in the water, James.
Exactly. Yeah. We started happy hour before the boat made it to the water. So yeah, I think the whole family's excited for sure.
That's fun. All right. Well, let's get started. Question of the week this week is, would EOS help my five-person MSP? This is the book Traction. And then there's a whole consulting industry that has grown up around EOS and helping businesses implement it. And I think the question here really is, when should you start with EOS? Like, when is too small? Because there's a lot of components to EOS. What's the scale? James, yeah. I know you're an expert in this.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a big EOS fan. I have an EOS-like program, and I years ago had gone through all the trainings and taken dozens and dozens of MSPs through the EOS process. So I love the question. And Amy, you bring up a really good point because how small is too small? And I would say, even if you have a three-person office, you've got to have some employees. You can't just be a single owner operator or a one man band, because this is really, EOS is more, it's a business structure that will go into your business that will increase, visibility, communication, accountability. I would say for a five person, absolutely. It's a great, great program. And, it scales all the way up to, hundreds and hundreds of employees as well, but it's a great business structure program that, again, most MSP business owners are really struggle with accountability. They don't like confrontations. They don't communicate well what's exactly expected numbers wise for the employees to close five tickets a day or, sell, $5,000 worth of gross profit a week. So it helps you set your goals. It creates transparency because you create a scorecard. You get the right people in the right seats in the business and really connect everybody to your vision. So it's kind of a long-winded answer, but I'm a big EOS fan and I would say yes. It's designed, I think, for businesses three or more.
There are a lot of components, though, as you dig into EOS. And when you're real small, you're going to have to combine some of those into the same person. I mean, it definitely can help you organize, stay on task, make sure everybody is clear on what their role is and what their goals are. So, there's a lot of good stuff there. When you're really small, though, I would discourage you from getting too rigid about it, though. Right? Read it, take it in, begin to think about that structure and kind of what the long term is going to be. Like James said, there's a lot of good stuff in there about setting goals and holding people accountable. And, you know, you said people don't like confrontation. I worry about people that do like confrontation.
Exactly. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you do have to know how to manage employees,
right?
How to manage clients, how to talk to them when there's a billing discrepancy, you know, all kinds of things come up. But you know, in my peer group, my mastermind group, I've got a guy who he's got at least 10 people now, maybe a couple more than that. Completely flat business structure. Mm. It never really matured it. And that's his struggle right now. And he has hired an EOS consultant to help him.
Mm.
And my advice was, I think it's a little bit early for that because of that completely flat structure. I think you want to have some thoughts about how you want to structure your business, how you want the hierarchy to go.
Right.
Take that into your EOS environment so that you can then have EOS reflect how you know, your vision for the business, right? EOS is going to help you process and think really clearly through how to get to the goals that you have for your business.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, so in the book, they talk about the VTO, the Vision Traction Organizer. And for those of you who haven't read the book, the VTO is really just, it's a 2-page business plan. And there's a series of exercises that you go through to build out that VTO. And I like doing the exercises with the leadership team. Now, if you're a 3-person shop or a 5-person shop, you know, you could do it with your whole team, or maybe you just do it with the core leaders or people with leadership potential. 'Cause to me, it's a great opportunity for you to build out your business plan and connect your employees to how they contribute to the big picture of the business. And, you know, when they get a chance to participate on that exercise, you know, from the core values to defining your purpose and creating the scorecards, when they feel like they're part of that decision-making and their fingerprints on the business plan of the business, they're a hell of a lot more motivated to help you hit your goals and objectives. So that's one of the things that surprised me when I brought teams through those exercises, to just see how they've kind of all bonded. And I like spreading it out. You know, the book talks about doing these exercises over a weekend, and then come back in Monday morning and rah, rah, let's go. And I don't like taking people away from their families. And, you know, you and I are gardeners and boaters, you know, when do you get to go do that? But the weekends, I like doing those maybe over a Zoom meeting for 60 minutes, and you do one exercise a week over a period of time. And it really gives your team members time to really think about it, so you're not just rushed and, you know, you complete it too fast. I've seen that work really well also. Mm-hmm. So just a couple tips.
Yeah. I like those tips a lot. You know, one of the things that I think is really important is that your business does have a vision.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really easy for people to get lost in the money aspect of the business. And of course your business has to make money and you want it to grow and all of that. But where you really can get your employees behind and feel motivated to help you is when they know that the business is going someplace,
right?
It has a mission, it has a reason for being, you know, it has goals that it's trying to hit, and people begin to feel like they're part of something, right? They're working toward that same mission. And you know, study after study in employment says that's what people are looking for. When they're looking for jobs, when they're looking to stay or leave, the decisions are not made on money all the time. The decisions made on how they feel about working there. Do they feel like they're valued? Do they feel like they're contributing and doing something meaningful?
Exactly. Yeah, I was just going to comment the same thing. It's one of the key reasons why great employees leave, because they don't feel like they're part of the big picture, or they don't understand. And, you know, Amy, you and I have been doing this for a long time. And as a channel consultant, I've done my fair share of on-site assessments. And I also love when I do on-site assessments. I still do them, and I enjoy them because I can really go into a business and feel the culture, see how the dynamics between the owner and the rest of the leadership team, or the owner and the rest of the company, how they all interact. And then I'll get the opportunity one-on-one to interview some of the leaders and some of the employees, you know, like salespeople or engineers. And I always ask questions, you know, how do you know you're doing good today? You know, what's the measuring stick? What's your why? And have them explain their compensation plan. Half the time they can't even explain it. You know, I had one guy once. I said, hey, how do you know that you hit your goals for the day? What does a good day look like for you? And he said, nobody yelled at me today. Said, oh, wow. Man. Wow. Okay. Now, there should be goals and KPIs that you keep track of, so you know you're making money every day. And yeah, having that kind of structure in place, to me, I guess the easiest way I can say it is it gets all your employees to start acting like owners. They feel like they're vested. They feel that they're going to hustle, and they're going to do things that they wouldn't have done before because they weren't really ever connected. So yeah, big fan of it.
Yeah. You know, one simple way that you can tell if the business is well organized and everybody's on board and, you know, moving in the same direction is, do they all know the elevator pitch? Mm-hmm. They all tell you what this company is about. It reminds me of one time I got a new client, and I knew that they manufactured tape, right? So, and it was long tapes of stickers, and these were industrial type stickers, right, under the hood of your car, in the door jam, right? Those kinds of things, right. You know, warning labels, and they come in these big long rolls of stuff. And so I always like to get a tour and see what's going on. They had an internal IT guy, and I went over and I was talking to him. We're talking about their environment and, you know, how we're going to work together. And then so I was asking him about the technology out in the shop area with the machines. And so we went out, and I'm like, okay, so, you know, explain to me how this all works. Like, you know, how does the product come in and, right, take me through the shop of, you know, when a sticker goes out the door, and then we'll look at the different technology points along the way.
Right.
He's like, I don't really know.
Hmm.
And you know, that company went out of business about 5 or 6 years later.
Yeah.
That's a non-MSP example, but, there's no reason for a company like that to go out of business. I mean, that is a very stable thing. Those warning labels and stickers and labels, industrial things, not that many companies can make those or specialize in that. But when you've got people working for you that he almost didn't have any idea of what they did, you know, so your employees, they need to know what the mission is. If you really want to have a successful company, you got to get everybody on board. EOS is a good place to start. But
yeah, it's one way of doing it for sure.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for that question. That's a good one. I think
a great one.
Not being organized and driven to the mission of the company is a common reason why businesses don't grow. Mm-hmm. Kudos to them for being five people and understanding that the direction they need to go in.
Yeah. Yep. Good point.
So we got some news today. One thing in the news I wanted to bring to everyone's attention is the state of Maryland has decided to put a 3% service tax on MSPs and other technology providers.
That's big news.
It's big news. So I have a blog post coming out, which you'll see it over at NSITSP.org, the National Society of IT Service Providers. Now, the organization took a stance against this tax, but the real issue here and what my blog deals with is why were we singled out to be taxed? Why doesn't this service tax apply to anybody else? And then looking back through some of the articles and stuff that the Chamber of Commerce was doing in Maryland, everybody was rowing in the same direction to get lawyers exempt, to get the CPAs exempt in those industries. They were all in this with us. They got exempt. Nobody was doing that for us. And so, you know, we're not organized. They don't see us as a profession. They see us as, you know, just a bunch of small companies out here without any organization or representation. And, you know, so look at my blog post. It's called "Those Who Do Not Organize Get Taxed." That is 100% what happened here.
Yeah.
You know, the NSITSP, we're trying to be that for our organization to raise professionalism and to be that national representation so that we don't get stuck holding the bag, because they will make laws around us. And Maryland is doing it. They're not the first. They won't be the last. And I think this is potentially going to pick up steam.
Yeah.
Because as you know, we're making big changes at the federal government level right now. And as we're making those changes where the feds are saying we're no longer going to provide funding for these various programs, those programs are all implemented at the state level. So without funding, the states are going to be looking for funding elsewhere. And I know here in Michigan, we get 40% of our state budget from the federal government, right? Taxes, federal taxes flow back down to the state. Nationally, that number varies from 28% in California as the low, and I think it's 57% in Louisiana as the high. So those are going to be some huge budget holes that our states are going to look to fill. And do we want them to fill that with taxes on MSPs? Not if we can help it. So big problem, big time, big reason for our industry to grow up and grow up fast.
And I love the organization, you know, the National Society of IT Solution Providers. It's NSITSP.org, right? It's .org.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard about that, listeners, you know, please go to the website, learn a little bit more, but together we're better. You know, we have a voice, and, you know, this, you know, collectively, this is how we get the word out and protect ourselves. And, you know, to me, I'm shocked, but not too shocked. You know, we knew it was coming, and I'm surprised Maryland starting it off. And I'm most surprised about, you know, from a professional services standpoint, that just MSPs are being targeted here, just technology companies. And, you know, so, you know, we need to collectively stand up for that. So encourage you to check out the National Society of IT Solution Providers.
All right. Well, other stuff in the news this week. MSPs without CMMC certification risk losing government business. 2.0 is here.
2.0 is here, and it's tough. It's a doozy. We actually talked a lot about this at my last event down in Dallas. We had some compliance gurus, and we spoke specifically about CMMC, the version 2.0, and its rigid requirements. You know, it's forcing a lot of MSPs, you know, out of the game. And again, you know, being a sales trainer for most of my life and salesperson most of my life, there's nothing worse than, you know, getting a client to like you, trust you, know what you do, And then they come to you with an opportunity and you say, no, I can't do that. There's nothing worse to me than having to say no because you don't have the skill sets. So I would just encourage people, you know, look at finding a CMMC compliance partner that you could come alongside and they could cover that requirement for you, or they could help you, you know, with a, like a white label program. You know, they could come in underneath you. I like having it separate for legal purposes. You know, it's a separate company. That's what I would recommend. You know, there's a good one out there. One of the owners of a compliance company is called Triad InfoSec. Jason Rory is a good person based in Houston, Texas. So he's been on the program before, but I would look at forming partnerships like that.
Yeah. The CMMC has matured to the point where you just can't do it yourself anymore. There are certifications that you yourself have to meet. Mm-hmm. You have to have trained and registered staff. The company has its own registration and certification process that it has to do.
Yeah, documented processes. I mean, you can't just test out overnight and be good. It takes a long time.
Yeah. And it's an ongoing thing too with renewals and fees, right? So these are certifications that have fees behind them. So if you find yourself in a situation with CMMC, you really do need someone who specializes in that so that they have gone through all of that. And then you can perhaps do some of the implementation, but you're going to need a CMMC partner if you have any federal Department of Defense contractors in your client base. If you don't have that, you're going to end up losing the client.
Right.
So pursue that now if you haven't done that already.
Exactly.
So last but not least in the news, Microsoft has a new mini PC out. Right? They've had their Surface line. This is a little mini PC. It's like an almost portable Windows cloud only host. So it's the Windows 365 device. It's called Link. If you think about a thin client, that's kind of what it is, right? You open it, it connects to Azure, runs the PC. These Windows 365 PCs have really caught on at the enterprise level, and I'm seeing it trickle down in the mid and the larger end of the small schools are loving it. One of the guys in my mastermind group has a pretty large school district client. They use them exclusively. So it's really, really caught on. People are looking to reduce their support cost for devices and having to maintain the security on the device. This way, it centralizes everything up in their Azure environment.
Well, I remember years ago when thin clients really kind of hit the scene, and other than, you know, certain enterprise clients that had the engineering support that could support that, you know, it seems like those really never took off like everybody thought they would. This looks like it's really booming to me, and there's such a strong business case, you know, with how cybersecurity is really driving the IT support costs. So, I mean, this is interesting in a lot of different ways for me to just see, you know, and they're only what, $349?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, $349. And then the fee on the Azure side is actually pretty low as well. It's like $50 a month. Mm-hmm. So, and that, you know, that includes the licensing. So,
I think this is a good move for
kids are hard on equipment.
Yeah.
They're hard to secure. You need those standardized environments. And this makes it a whole lot easier, right? They can buy an inexpensive device, connect to the cloud. You know, their limited IT staff can manage things from one single place without really having to worry about the devices at all.
Well, it's a strong business case. So, you know, I think something for MSPs to pay close attention to and get on the bandwagon or figure out how you could support this or get involved in it.
Yeah, I would use it in small environments too. I used a thin client environment for a nonprofit that had a lot of interns that came and went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was always the nonprofit had, you know, 20 some people, but they had about 10 interns that were continuously cycling through every few weeks. And so, so we set up a thin client environment for them. It just made onboarding and offboarding people just so simple. And we weren't losing momentum as those people cycled in and out too, because we could reconnect them with the data, with the project that they were all there to work on.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you don't think about this, you don't have to use it for every person in the company. You can plug it in where it makes sense. And one of the things where it really makes sense is if you have people working remotely from their home offices.
Mm-hmm.
It completely eliminate the security concerns off at that home environment that you don't control.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, to me, kind of feels like it's the printer, you know, and the real, you know, they're giving those away nowadays and they make all their money on the toners and they're going to make all the money on the monthly cloud fees. So, because that's your hard drive.
Yeah. Yep. So James, you just had your event down in Dallas. What else is coming up?
Well, truth be told, no travels for me this quarter, other than next month here in, May, I'm going to be in Europe. So that, and it just for fun, I'm just going to be goofing off for 2.5 weeks.
Good.
So looking forward to that. But then shortly after I get back, then I've got another event coming up. One of our, Mastermind Road shows is going to be in Omaha, Nebraska, the end of June. So right here on
hometown
the
show.
Yeah. Hometown show right at the, right in the middle of the, College World Series. And, you know, Omaha will be hopping. So yeah, that's coming up for me. How about you? You got anything coming up?
I am not. Summer's coming and I have a lot of boating planned for this summer. So I am not planning to do any business trips anywhere. No, we'll see if that happens. That seems like I tend to go someplace once a quarter business wise, but I'm going to try to keep that from happening. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm trying to scale back a little bit myself here in 2025. I traveled quite a bit last year, so I'm going to have a little fun mixed in there too.
Awesome. Well, all right. Well, good chatting with you.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this edition of the SMB Community Podcast. We will see you all next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.